Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Welcome to Finishing Well. Today's show I'm really excited about because I can just tell from current news reports that this one's going to be very topical today is investment freak out when you're looking at the stock market and what have you, or faith. You know, what's it going to be? And as I thought about this, it's an interesting thing that we all have this fear of the unknown. Right, you don't know what's going to happen. So as you look in the crystal ball right now over the stock market and the government shutdown and all the things that are going on, I'm guessing you may not have a real cool, clear plan of what's going on. But in Psalm 56:4, the psalmist said, "In a day when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you." And as I think about that, the reason why I can do that is that, you know, I kind of stake my whole future right here on God, and I know that I can trust him because I've come to know him through reading his word, through praying, through being around other believers, and the more I do all those things, the more I can trust him. So I'm guessing, Hans, the reason that I'm real shaky about the stock market and what all that's going on is that I don't really have a knowledge of what's going on or what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, I think the average consumer, these commentators that are just talking about this endlessly, I don't think most of them know, like, what is causing all this volatility in the stock market? I mean, why is it so wonderful 3 or 4 months ago, and then it's now, it's all doom and gloom and uncertainty? And, you know, they talk about the tariffs since that fall and the raising interest rates that the Fed's doing, and they're going to impeach Trump and, you know, just endless stuff that he's going to pull out of Syria and we're going to have a world war. And people really don't know. I mean, I will tell you that the markets and the whole herd of the markets, they don't like uncertainty. So just any more than you do when you're freaking out over this stuff. But people like me in the market, I mean, I maybe have a little better idea than you do about what's causing this stuff, but it's still a guess on my part.
But the good news is that really through today's show, we're hoping that you can gain some knowledge that would give you some faith, like, you know, some things that were a little bit more reliable than, you know, what you're hearing through the news and those kind of things. So we're with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. And of course, our show here is based on his book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, which is always available at cardinalguide.com. And the 7 worries tab that we're talking about today is investments, right, in retirement.
Yeah.
And so that's available at the 7 worries tab, of course, at cardinalguide.com. But one of the just real precious things that's in your workbook is this chart. We've talked about it before that outlines risk and really begins to give us some knowledge for which we can have faith. Because, you know, and I think, you know, I know a number of people semi-well, but if I were to, you know, just walk out in the street and hand somebody $100, you know, I wouldn't have much faith on what was going to happen to that. But if I handed you, Hans, because I know you well, you know, the difference is how well do you know what's going on? And this chart helps us get to know things better.
Well, you know, the chapter I wrote on investments and retirement income in both the book and the workbook, you know, and again, you can get those just for downloading at cardinalguide.com. I wrote these to be as simple as they possibly could. In fact, I even had some concerns that this is almost too simple and too basic when I wrote it. I mean, you never know how things are going to be taken by your audience. But if there's anything that I've gotten compliments on, and I've gotten a lot of them throughout this, is from readers, people that have become clients, is really this whole chapter and the chart that's in here. Most of this chapter, or all of this chapter, went right from my head onto the paper, and certainly it was revised by the editors. But I just try to keep it as simple as I possibly could. And, you know, this chart is really an assessment. It's on page 71 of the workbook, and it just goes down the left side, equity, stock, bonds, equity indexed annuities, fixed rate annuities, bank CDs, cash and money market, real estate, gold, commodities, and options. And then across the top of the chart, it has market risk, inflation risk, interest rate risk, liquidity risk, and credit risk. That's a lot of risk right there, okay?
Yeah. Well, investments are risky business.
Well, it is. And so when you get down, a lot of folks, I mean, I throw it around a lot. We talk about high risk, low risk, moderate risk, but we don't talk about kinds of risk. And there's all kinds of subcategories of risk that you really got to be concerned about, okay? And really the one that people are nervous about now is market risk. So I don't really want to turn today's show into an education on risk, other than the fact that if you're just worried about the markets, over-worried, and you're worried about your money that's sitting in there and waking up and it might be 10%, 20% lower in a few months or in a few weeks, you know, what I would say to that is you probably have too much of your money in stocks appropriate for your age and the level of risk that you can withstand. That'd be the first thing I'd tell you. If you found that your stocks or your whole portfolio has gone down less than the market has, then that's probably a good thing because it means that you're invested within there more conservatively than the market as a whole in a more conservative way. If you found you've lost more than the market, then you're probably riskier than the market. That's not 100% sure, but it's pretty much a guide. And so what I'd really like is all this nervousness and stress that we're getting over this to really mean something. And what I'd like to see our listeners do is educate themselves a bit and really get together a financial plan. Because if you have a good, sound financial plan written down with goals, with a way to deal with these uncertainties like this, you can relax a bit through this. I mean, clients that I put into a real conservative place, but then they've got some cash on the sidelines, when the market dips, a lot of times I'll call them up. That's when we buy a little bit and we get a little bit riskier because stocks are on sale. And clients that I've put into a moderate risk, they can sit there and say, well, you know, we're not as risky as that market as a whole, so we've lost some, but, you know, they can look at their conservative stuff.
Well, you said something to me, you know, earlier as we were talking about this show that just kind of took and put it all in perspective, that a lot of people are freaking out right now, but really this isn't a huge downturn, but more of a wake-up call.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's make it mean something. So if you're all nervous and you're wondering what's going on, you're seeking what's going on, what's causing this, then what should I do? You know, what I'm going to say is, what should you do? Before that, you ought to learn, where am I? I mean, I can't tell you where to go unless I know where you're sitting right now. And so the wake-up call is you really need to get yourself educated on what's driving this whole thing. Or if you don't want to do that, or you just feel like it's too confusing for you, or you don't understand it, then you need to find somebody you can trust that is educated on it, okay? And then you need to go to them for advice, and don't come to them with a bunch of prepackaged advice of telling them what to do.
Yeah, I used to remember that in the car business, that, you know, the customer that would come into the service drive and say, well, just replace my starter. They diagnosed their problem. Why do we need a mechanic? Why, you know, they would tell you all the stuff that was wrong with their car. You replaced the starter and their car still didn't start. But, well, you told me to replace the starter. Well, my car isn't starting. Well, why didn't you tell me that to begin? You know, it's a matter of, I imagine that's the challenge when you go into something like that thinking you know it all.
Well, yeah, and it's not even thinking you know it all. It's just you heard this from somebody else and you're loyal to that and you're just, you know, I mean, 5 years ago, people were coming in and they just wanted to buy Apple. They wanted to put all their money in Apple. How could it miss? You know, they'd point at my thing and my iPad and theirs and talk about their kids. And have you seen what Apple's doing lately? I mean, it just got overbid, and then all of a sudden, when those iPhone 10s hit $1,000, I mean, and then you got a recession starting or downturn in China, I mean, it's just, it's tanking.
That's a great sound effect. I need to use that later. But it is, yeah.
It's just tanking. And now everybody rolling in, they want to put it all on Amazon. Yeah, I just read a forecast. Amazon, you know, it said, you know, 18, 20% this year or something like that. It was just in the paper yesterday or in the news. And, you know, just for a second, I'm thinking, man, I got to, and then I said, wait a minute. You know, Amazon could very well, first of all, they could be right. It just, all indicators look like that. But they also, they could be the next Apple, that all of a sudden there's antitrust legislation. And there's so many factors that can make any one stock or the whole market tank. And there's no guarantee that the past is going to repeat itself in the future. People say, well, it always recovers. Well, always is in the past. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, you know, I'm selling investments too. So where we really want to go with this is let's take all this uncertainty and let's use this as a time to really make it mean something and figure out like what your goals are, how much money you need to live, how much money is your fund money, how much you want to leave your kids, how much you need for long-term care, how much you're going to need if one of the two spouses passes away, the other one lives alone, all those important things to you. Get a plan together and then make the investments support that plan or make the investments and the money serve that plan instead of you just sitting here worrying and all anxious when the market goes up and down.
Right. You're listening to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today's show is Market Freakout or Faith. We've got a wonderful story to share with you on how all this can come together in interesting ways. And biblically, there's lots of ways as well. So stay tuned. We got so much more coming. It's all brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com. We'll be right back. Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com. Welcome back to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner or Finana Planner, Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today's show, we are talking financial freakout on these markets or faith. And you know, faith comes to a great extent with knowledge and understanding and prayer and all those kind of things. So I'm pretty excited that there is an answer to these situations, and a lot of it can be just discovered through, you know, the work to discovering what's going on.
Yeah. So we talked earlier really about managing risk, and that's certainly part of this chapter. And for today's show, what I really wanted to talk about today is the use of annuities really as a substitute for bonds in the conservative side of the portfolio. I mean, a challenge we've had over a number of years is, you know, I've been doing this a lot of years, and 20, 30 years ago, you could get 4, 5, 6% on your bonds. So that was your conservative return, and you didn't have to worry about the values going drastically up and down like you would the stock market. So you'd have people allocated 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds. It was a little easier then. And over the last several years, bond yields, CD yields, things that are guaranteed or that have a level, you know, 1% to 2%, 2.5%, 3% at the best. I mean, they've been coming back a little bit lately. So a lot of investors have just leaned more toward stocks and dividend stocks or more conservative stocks. But any way you shake it, they're stocks, and they can go up and down. And they've swayed away from bonds, or they've had it in bonds, and they've just complain about them all the time because they're just not yielding.
They're not doing anything.
It's almost like nothing.
Buried in the dirt. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a suggestion that I'm going to make for some people is to put part of their money into what's called a fixed indexed annuity as a substitute for bonds, because they share with bonds that they have a lot of guarantees that stocks don't have. You're not going to lose money in these things. And but what they have over bonds is they can pay some pretty substantial interest, and they can create some pretty substantial income years into the future. So I wanted today to just tell you a little story about a client that I met 8 years ago, and I just dealing with her over the last couple of days. In fact, she gave me a referral to her nephew, where he wants to do something with his money. And it's very flattering when you're sitting down years later with people that have bought these annuities quite a ways back, and now we're turning on that income. And what was really flattering, when I told her, I said, now that $1,850 a month that we just started, and the first check's coming in January, is going to come to you for the rest of your life. She said, really? She said, I didn't get that part of that when we first. She said, now there's only like $250,000 or something like that in there. And she said, so that $1,850 a month is going to draw down that principal. But you're telling me when that principal's gone, if I'm still alive, I still get the $1,850 a month? I said, absolutely right. She was just floored. Well, how do they do that? And I said, have you ever looked at these insurance companies? I mean, they're not short on money. They've got it figured out. So, I mean, I'll tell you a little bit how they do it, but they have themselves covered on all ends. In fact, they get accused all the time of, you know, of taking too much of the take and having high fees and all that kind of stuff, which maybe that's right in some cases. But here I have a client that's now collecting on the thing that's just asking me, how are they able to pay out an income when there's nothing left in the account?
Right, which, again, Social Security itself is an annuity, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is. But there is money in the federal government account, but they've made a promise to any one person, because they know the law of averages is what I really didn't go on to tell her, is that not everybody like her is going to live to 100. I mean, some people are going to live to 100. Some people are going to live to 90. Some are going to live to 80. And some are going to live to 72. And then I further showed her that if she only lives to 72, that there's going to be a refund of some of that $250,000, a lot of it, to her beneficiaries. So they're paying the money in the reserve back to the early deaths, and they're paying out the monthly income to the long lives. I mean, it's
so
a sweet
thing.
So how
did she get to where she gets an $1,800 a month income?
Okay, so when I met her in 2011, she had about $200,000 from an old IRA, I mean, an old 401k from a prior job. And it had taken quite a beating in 2008, 2009. So she moved it into cash or something real safe, money market at the bank, still in an IRA. And she didn't want any part of stocks at that time. So we put $200,000 in this annuity 8 years ago. And I think it's up to about 280, 290 actually now of cash value. But the income values are in excess of that. So she's got that one particular thing that she bought 8 years ago is paying her $1,850 a month. Now, she didn't need any income from then in 2011 because she wasn't retired. She was still working. Along in 2013, she retired. And when she retired, we turned on her Social Security, and that was $1,800 a month. She had like $310,000 in her 401k at that current job. So this is a pretty nice thing for this lady. Between these two IRAs or 401ks or whatever, she had about $500,000. But nothing else. She didn't really have any other financial assets, so just a little bit. And no pension and a Social Security check of $1,800 a month. And she calculated that she needed like two Social Security checks. She needed another $1,800 a month to live now that she's retired. So what we did is we took that second $310,000 and we divided it up. We put $200,000 in a new annuity that's still baking away. She's not taking anything out of that. And the $110,000, it's been paying her $1,800 a month. That wasn't in an annuity. That was just in a investment account, paying out $1,800 a month to her, sent her a check every month till it got down to zero. And zero happened for her last May. And then we figured out a way to close the gap from May to December. And then starting now, she's got that original annuity I sold her paying the $1,850 a month. So, you know, that's a lot of words. I've spit out a lot of stuff without a chalkboard to draw on. But as far as she's concerned, she's got now a Social Security check of $1,800 a month guaranteed for life. She's got an original investment that's 8 years old that she put $200,000 in, paying her $1,850 a month. That's for life. And then she's got another, what was $200,000 is now up to about $270,000 of value that is just sitting there growing. So in case she needs some more money, or she needs some inflation protection, or she needs some long-term care, or she needs that money for something, it's just growing. And at some point we can turn on an income from that, and or we can make a big withdrawal from it. I mean, she's just got a nice tax-deferred
savings. So she could have had an annuity that had long-term. She doesn't have that in this case?
She doesn't have that in this case. Again, back in the day, she really wasn't that worried about long-term care, because I talked to her. She was more interested in the future guaranteed income. And so I didn't sell her one of those. Okay. And now we've been talking about her buying long-term care. But in the meantime, she's had cancer. She's been through all of that. You know, we wrote her a Medicare supplement after the cancer during that open enrollment period. And we've been through a lot with her. So at some point we may take care of that, but at the very least, she's got that other account that's growing that she can use for long-term care. And secondly, because she's single, she could, if she have to, throw the $1,800 a month of Social Security plus the $1,850 coming from the one annuity plus the $280,000 in the others. She's just going to have to throw it all at long-term care, and it'd probably take care of her for the rest of her life.
But going back to our last week's show, that gentleman had an annuity that did have, it doubled the income if he went with the long-term care rider kind of thing. What is there a big difference in the income potential between the one that has the long-term care adjustment or not?
Not for him, no. No, for him, no. And he had the benefit of some good performance out of that annuity during the 5 years. So it's easy to sit down now and look backwards and say that. So to try to answer your question directly, yeah, that long-term care benefit costs you some in terms of performance and the charges, but it isn't a huge amount. Maybe he could have gotten $16,000 a year at this point instead of $15,000 that he is getting without the long-term care benefit. I'm just guessing at that.
All right, but the great news is that when it comes to risk, you know, there's a place for the stock market and there's a place for high risk things. If, you know, if you have the income to do that, there's a place, right? It's a matter of balance.
The only money we put at risk for Sally was the $110,000 right when she retired that we were immediately paying out of. And that was a pretty much a moderate risk. Most clients are not going to be as conservative as her. We very well could have put the $200,000 or all $310,000 at risk, knowing we had this annuity that would have started paying out $1,850 a month. So you don't have to do everything. Like, she's kind of an example of all annuities is right. What she's ended up with. I'm not necessarily recommending that for everybody or anybody. She got that because she's very conservative. She had no danger of losing any of the monies that was put in the annuities or sitting here worrying about things going up and down. The worst she could have done in any 1 year was zero. And so, and even the years she went zero, her income account would have been going up during those years. So it's been, you know, it's just, in summary, I'd really like people to consider taking a piece of their conservative money, which might be in bonds now, or they might think about putting it in bonds, and consider and compare bonds to a fixed indexed annuity.
Yeah, and I like what you said earlier in the show, that take this market and take a hard look at what's going on. You know, did your market stuff do worse than the market, or did your market stuff do better than the market, to give you an idea of what how it is invested? But essentially, it is a wake up call to say, where do I really want this, you know, and how can I plan this, and so that I have a knowledge that would replace fear with faith.
We can very easily plug all your investments off your statement into a Morningstar analysis and give us all that from a very tactical perspective. So anybody that would like to take advantage of that, you know, feel free to text me or give me a call. It's all there at cardinalguide.com.
Again, it's cardinalguide. Don't forget the guide. .com. You're listening to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. His book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, is all there at cardinalguide.com. Thanks, Hans.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's cardinalguide.com. Cardinalguide.com.